Hello, everyone. Welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and I'm so excited to be here. I have some fun announcements, and I'm also just excited because tonight we are finishing the text, which is amazing because we started reading this a long time ago. So we're finishing up the text starting next weekend, so in a week. We will be reading the cameo essays in the back of the CE, the purple edition. In my opinion, this book is worth the cost alone just for these cameo essays because they are just so loaded with incredible guidance that Jesus gave to Helen and Bill. It's so practical, and we're just going to – I'm just so excited to read these together. You do not need to purchase the CE, though you can if you want to. You have options. You can either buy it, either a print copy or a Kindle. You can just let me read to you. Or if you can't afford it, the Circle of Atonement does have some free books for people in need. So if you're not able to purchase it, please do reach out to the Circle of Atonement. If anybody wants to get an email address from me, you can just email me and I can send it. They'd be happy to send out a book for anybody in need. So that's happening next week. The other thing that is happening in a week, some of you heard this already, I have been hiding out. You know, I'm one to kind of love, I love to hide. And I'm not, as I know I've been on interviews and whatnot, but it's not natural for me to be in front of the camera and seen, especially I'm comfortable if I'm with maybe an interviewer. But solo, it's always been a little bit different for me. So I felt this internal push to switch our platform so I can be comfortable being seen, and it's just going to be such better sound quality. We're going to switch to Zoom starting next week. And nothing has to change for anybody because you can still call in by the phone. Or you can use a computer, and if you want to be seen, you can have your camera on or you can have your camera off. That is completely under your control. When we do the Zoom calls, I'll also archive the audio-only file on my website in the exact same way we've always done. So I won't be saving the videos, but I'll be saving the audios just because of size. And, yeah, so I will send out those new details for the Zoom call. You will definitely get them Sunday morning of next week and probably before then also. So just keep an eye out in your inbox for the new access details. And if for some reason you can't find it, just email me and I'll be sure to get those over to you before the call starts. So that's super exciting. I will let everybody know. I'm not sure if I'm going to stream the video to my Facebook group or not. We'll see. I have to think about that still. So that's my next announcement, and then the final announcement that I just want to make. I am pretty sure that this week is going to be the week where we start to advertise the Love Lens program that I have been planning with my Mighty Companion friends, Pastor Yolanda Batts, Freedom Cartwright, and Emily Bennington, and it's called the Love Lens Conversations on A Course in Miracles, Racism, and the Unified Mind. And I cannot tell you just how excited I am about these conversations. They're going to be so good. You're going to love Pastor Yolanda and Freedom and Emily. I don't know who knows who already. Pastor Yolanda is likely new to you because she has not ventured into this. I don't even know what this is, but like she's not part of like the Community Miracle Center conferences. I think she will be. But anyways, that's coming this week, hopefully, in terms of announcing it. So keep an eye out for that. And I'm going to share page references, and then we will do our meditation. So just a reminder, you press star 6 to mute your line and star 6 to unmute. So that's so helpful to keep a nice clear line for everybody. If you have the CE, the complete and annotated edition, it has the purple cover by the Circle of Atonement, please go to page 924, paragraph number 6. So again, CE, page 924, paragraph 6. It begins with the sentence, "You are as God created you." That corresponds to the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, the blue book, chapter 31, part 8, which is called Choose Once Again. And it's the sixth paragraph. So FIP, Chapter 31, Part 8, Paragraph 6. In the Sparkle edition, it's page 725, third full paragraph on the page. And original edition by Course in Miracles Society is Chapter 31, Part 8, Paragraph 91. So we got through all that. Let's drop in. So just beginning our time together, if you'd like, allowing your eyes to close. And imagining that as we turn within, if we feel that monkey mind, that inner chatter, we can imagine that this is like fog. It can't stop us from sinking deeper down into this quiet, still, loving space that we all share. Deep, deep into your heart and mind, we have an inner altar, and this is our inner altar to the truth, to the Holy Spirit. We often place things of this world in the way of this altar or even on the altar. But right now, we can just imagine our inner altar nice and clean, and offering the Holy Spirit our willingness. I'm imagining myself placing my willingness on this altar. And what comes next is an exchange. In exchange for our willingness, we receive back awareness of truth, of love, of light, and of miracles. In this holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives, and we gladly place Spirit in charge tonight by our request. So taking a nice, mindful, deep breath in and out, and coming together to our perception of right here, right now. All right. I'm assuming everybody can hear me okay. If I come in choppy or if you can't, please do let me know. And we're not going to have that issue anymore. Once we switch to Zoom, I listened to an audio playback from last week versus a recording that I had on a different Zoom account for the college where I teach, and I was like, oh my gosh, the playback, the audio quality is just so much better on Zoom, so that's exciting. All right, so we're going to finish out the text today. Let's begin. We have a few paragraphs to go, I think about six paragraphs. So I'm starting with a sentence. I'm in CE again, page 924, paragraph 6, starting with a sentence. You are as God created you. And if you have FIP and just called in, it's chapter 31, part 8, paragraph 6. Here we go. And by the way, hold on. I'm going to back up for a second. In this section, which is called Choose Once Again, we have been talking about, it starts out in this section by saying temptation has one lesson it would teach in all its forms, wherever it occurs. It would persuade us that we are bodies. It would persuade us that we're born in what must die. We're locked to this. We can't escape it, bound by what the body orders, and we can choose again. So every form of temptation, be it anxiety, be it fears of sickness, be it financial concerns, be it relationship conflict, whatever it is, this is all temptation to convince you that you are a body. So it goes on in what we read last week to talk about how we always choose between the small s self weakness and the strength of Christ in us. It talked about that quote, it didn't talk about the quote. We read, trials are but lessons which you failed to learn, presented once again. So we're always being given an opportunity to choose once again. And it says somewhere in this section, it's paragraph 4, don't be fearful of temptation. So the things that come up to try to convince us that we're bodies, we need not be afraid of them because they're coming up as another layer of the onion. They're coming up as another opportunity to choose again, another opportunity to heal. We left off last week with the happy habit of response to all temptation to perceive yourself as weak and vulnerable. The words that we ended with in the prior paragraph, I should say the words that the prayer that was offered in this paragraph was, I am as God created me. His son can suffer nothing, and I am his son. So we're inviting Christ's strength to prevail. All right, picking up at paragraph 6. You are as God created you, and so is every living thing you look upon. Regardless of the images you see. What you behold as sickness and as pain, as weakness and as suffering and loss, is but temptation to perceive yourself defenseless and in hell. Yield not to this, and you will see all pain in every form, wherever it occurs, but disappear as mists before the sun. A miracle has come to heal God's Son and close the door upon his dreams of weakness, opening the way to his salvation and release. Choose once again what you would have him be, remembering that every choice you make establishes your own identity as you will see it and believe it is. So, you are as God created you, and so is every living thing you look upon, regardless of what you see. So when we look out and we behold, even maybe in our own body, sickness and some form of pain, weakness, suffering, or loss, wherever we think we are perceiving that, whether it's in ourselves or in another, this is but temptation. So this is the ego dangling its bait as if you were a fish, as the ego's going fishing, hoping that you're going to be that fish that's going to take the bait, that's going to take the temptation, so you will perceive yourself as defenseless and in hell. That's what the ego wants you to do. But hello? This paragraph said, hello? Did anybody want to say something? Or maybe somebody came off mute by accident. So it says, yield not to this, and you will see all pain in every form, but disappear as mists before the sun. Now, this is interesting because what we're learning how to do as Course students is to see beyond the picture, right? We're learning how to not take the form as the truth, but instead be connected to the truth beyond the form. I'm going to come back to my thought in just a moment. I just want to do a check-in because I just heard some background noise. Can everybody hear me okay? Could somebody pop on and let me know?
Yes.
Make sure I'm not
we can hear you.
Yes.
I can hear
thank
you.
Thank you, Tanya.
Yeah, you sound great.
Thank you. Okay, perfect.
I can hear you fine, Corinne.
Thank you so much. So it's saying yield not to this. Now, we can't do that in our – we can't intellectually do that. And what I mean by that is – I can't, Corinne can't look out and, you know, see all the crap that I see and just tell myself, oh, this isn't real, and I'm just going to go back to doing what Corinne wants to do and, like, you know, my happy little bubble. I can't, of myself, convince myself or know that this is not real. What I'm learning through the Holy Spirit, through experiences of the truth, where I feel internally a connection to something that is so far beyond my limited body, that starts to become more real for me. That starts to become a sense, a new sense that I have, that there's truth and love and light that's always there in every single one of us, in every single living thing, and it's there beyond the form. It's there despite whatever the form may be, and so it's my job to tune into that as I'm having experiences like miracles and shifts and experiences of love through the Holy Spirit. But what I want to emphasize is that, like, it's not just an intellectual feat. This isn't just me saying, I mean, it's helpful for me to say, I'm not yielding to temptation. That's absolutely helpful. But Corinne of herself cannot do that alone. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit's help, and I need an experience that shows me that I need not buy into temptation because I am something, and we are all something that is way greater. So when we yield not this with the Holy Spirit by our side, that's when we see things shift. That's when things disappear like mist before the sun. So I'm going to pause there. Does anybody have any comments or questions so far?
Can you give an example, a personal example of that?
Yeah, actually, this just popped in my head. When September 11th, 2001 was the day, I remember waking up in bed that morning, hadn't gotten out of bed yet, and I had this, and I was already, you know, 2001, I had started studying the course in like 96, 97, and so I was very much engaged with the course at that point. And that morning in bed, I had this really strong feeling come over me. And I don't remember the exact words or the exact, like, words that came with the feeling, but it was a feeling of no matter what your body's eyes show you, everything is okay. Meaning, truth cannot be changed. No matter what seems to happen on this level of form, truth is true, is true, is true. Nothing can change that. We are part of that truth. We cannot die. And I'm talking about the truth of us, you know, not talking about bodies. And then that morning I got up, and as you know, we all maybe turned on the TV or however you heard, and I remember turning on the TV, and it was right before the second tower had been hit, and just, you know, watching in absolute horror. But I had that feeling before that happened that no matter what your body's eyes show you, no matter what is showing up in form, no matter how painful it may be, truth doesn't change, and we are part of it. That literally when we wake up, it's like how we wake up from a nightmare at night, like, oh, thank God that was just a dream. It's that same kind of like, oh, I actually thought that was really happening, you know? So, Tanya, that's the example that came to mind.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. Let's read the next paragraph. Deny me not the little gift I ask, when in exchange I lay before your feet the peace of God and power to bring this peace to everyone who wanders in the world uncertain, lonely, and in constant fear. For it is given you to join with him, that's your brother, and through the Christ in you, unveil his eyes and let him look upon the Christ in him. My brothers in salvation, do not fail to hear my voice and listen to my words. I ask for nothing but your own release. There is no place for hell within a world whose loveliness can yet be so intense and so inclusive. It is but a step from there to heaven. To your tired eyes, I bring a vision of a different world. So new and clean and fresh, you will forget the pain and sorrow that you saw before. So the little gift that Jesus is asking us here, he's laying before our feet the peace of God. That's a big effing deal. Like, imagine the peace of God being laid at your feet. And with that, the power to bring this peace to everyone who wanders in the world uncertain, lonely, and in constant fear. It's given us to join with them. And through the Christ in you, unveil his eyes and let him look upon the Christ in him. So here, so clearly it's saying joining with our brothers. We don't pull away from our brothers. We don't do A Course in Miracles in isolation. This is about waking up to the Christ through our brother, through joining with our brother. And Jesus says, I ask for nothing but your own release. I ask for nothing but your own release. There is no place for hell within a world whose loveliness, I love this line. I want to read this again. There is no place for hell within a world whose loveliness can yet be so intense and so inclusive. It is but a step from there to heaven. So here, of course, the Course is referring to the real world. It's the world we start to see, we can start to see here, that is so clean and so reflective of heaven that it's just a step away from heaven. And when I read this sentence the first time, I immediately thought of this journey that I have felt very called to embark on with healing racism, with talking about this, with getting conversations going. This loveliness can be so intense and so inclusive, including everyone and everything. It is but a step from there to heaven. So it's a vision of a different world. And this is what we are asked as miracle workers to be, to do, to see. And again, we do this through the Holy Spirit in us. But, I'm going to keep reading, let me try this one more time. But this a vision is which you must share with everyone you see, for otherwise you will behold it not. To give this gift is how to make it yours. And God ordained in loving kindness that it be for you. Let us be glad that we can walk the world and find so many chances to perceive another situation where his gift can once again be recognized as ours. And thus will all the vestiges of hell, the secret sins and hidden hates, be gone, and all the loveliness which they concealed appear like lawns of heaven to our sight to lift us high above the thorny roads we traveled on before the Christ appeared. So this vision, this loveliness, this intense and inclusive state, this loveliness that's so intense and so inclusive, it's only a vision that we can see if we share it. So, as the Course teaches, giving and receiving are one in truth. We give peace to know peace. We give love to know love. There's no other way. If we are not giving it and we're just journeying for that love within, that is going to work. I mean, it's going to get us so far, but then we can go further. Then, I feel like in my journey, I very much had to be focused on my own peace for a long time because I was suffering so deeply with anxiety. I was still loving my brother, but I wasn't thinking about the Course necessarily in those terms. And I got to a point where I stagnated with the Course. I felt like, okay, I'm happy now. Things are fine. Is this all? And it wasn't until really starting to drop into these messages of sharing and, you know, joining with your brother that you really find that peace through your brother, that diving into my most difficult relationships which I've talked about on the call many times, that I started experiencing some massive transformation once again through the course. I love how it says in this paragraph, well, it says, to give this gift is how to make it yours, and God ordained in loving kindness that it be for you. And now this next sentence, I have to underline this. Listen to this again. So this, think about all the trials and tribulations that you feel like you're dealing with on a daily basis. It's saying, let us be glad that we can walk the world and find so many chances to perceive another situation where his gift can once again be recognized as ours. So let us be glad that the, I don't think there's any kids listening, that the, you know what is hitting the fan. I'll be careful just in case somebody has me on speaker. You know what is hitting the fan. Like, let us be glad that it is, because we're getting so many chances to perceive another situation where his gift can once again be recognized as ours. So for everything happening in the world, environmentally, politically, like, let us be glad that we are given, and this is where the celestial speed up is like, oh yeah, like, we're definitely on a celestial speed up. Look at how many chances every day we have to perceive yet again where his gift can be recognized. Like, it's constant. We are on a celestial speed up. These lessons, these learnings, we could have in the past taken lifetimes to be faced with, to learn. Now it's like all happening right now in 2020. So that's pretty amazing. And, you know, I have to share, I had a feeling come over me. When was this? Was this last night? It may have been last night. That we are living right now in such an exciting time. Like, yes, it's been kind of awful in, like, a lot of different ways, but it's a super exciting time because those of us who are called to be on this path, and I got to tell you, I know you feel the same way. I'm so grateful for the course, because I would be a pile on the floor if it weren't for the course. This is such an exciting time because we're being given an opportunity to literally be miracle workers, like, literally to bring light into darkness, to literally extend love instead of fear. And we're not going to do it perfectly, and we're not going to do it perfectly often or all the time, but we know we have the Holy Spirit with us, and that's what matters, because we, as this section says, we can choose again. We can choose once again. I'm going to read that in the CE, paragraph 9 is like rinky-dink. It's really, really tiny. It says, hear me, my brothers, not that the message is rinky-dink, it's just a couple sentences. Hear me, my brothers, hear and join with me. God has ordained, I cannot call in vain. And in his certainty, I rest content. For you will hear, and you will choose again. And in this choice is everyone made free. And this is certainly a powerful, powerful message. So it's almost like this tiny paragraph is like, boom, take in these lines. Join with Jesus. God has ordained. Jesus cannot call in vain. And in his certainty, Jesus rests content, because we will hear and we will choose again. And in our choice is everyone made free. So every time you choose for love instead of fear, every time you call on the Holy Spirit, every time you just say that simple prayer, help, every time you're turning to the Holy Spirit, it's as if the ego dream is becoming a little more transparent, a little more transparent, a little more transparent. As I think I've shared before, my friend Amy Torres once said, my body is thinning away like the heel of a threadbare sock. So every choice that we make is like thinning out that sock a little more and a little more. And we thin out the sock not just through telling ourselves nice quotes, but through fully being in our lives, fully being present, fully living what is given us to live and doing what is given us to do. and turning to the Holy Spirit. And it's like it thins out, it becomes more transparent and more transparent. And what rises up in place, because we're not sacrificing anything, what rises up in place is awareness of heaven, awareness of the truth, and a broadening of our perspective that goes beyond just this tiny blip of a lifetime. Any comments or questions? I just said a lot. I think I got my answer. I don't think we're going to stream Zoom to Facebook just yet, because I think I just need to get used to being on video. So we're going to just stick with just our Zoom meeting for the time being. And if I feel prompted to start streaming to our Facebook group, I will. But for next week, we're definitely not going to do that. any comments or questions about anything we just read? Any sentences that stand out to you?
Yeah, Corinne.
Hi, Alan.
I was once at a group. I was talking about the love within me. And one fellow turned to me and said, "Why do you keep..." It's almost as if you're drawing a circle around yourself and saying that love and beauty of God or whatever is within you. He said that love is within the world and within everybody and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But you draw a circle around within. And I think that's where I have some difficulty getting from that love within to sharing that love in with every opportunity and so on. I need some help with that.
Yeah, well, you know, that's where we have lives that we've been given to live, and that's where every step we take, literally just a trip to the grocery store, of course, smiling at somebody now, you can't see necessarily because we're in masks, but like, it's those little moments of kindness, of just a smile or pausing and letting somebody walk first. It's these little acts of kindness that can be on the smaller scale of things that we practice. And, you know, in other ways, in other relationships, especially the ones that challenge us, it can be helpful. I don't remember now if somebody on the call said this. I feel like somebody on the call said this not too long ago, but like if you're challenged with political figures, like let's use Trump as an example. He was once a little baby also. And you know, we take in messages from the world, and it shapes us. And so trying to sometimes remember, when we think of our brother, thinking of them as a baby or a small child, you know, the first thing, Alan, that really comes is you're wanting to learn that more, you know, that extension of love with our brothers and sisters. So that desire, I feel like, ushers in opportunities. So we have to really want it first. So that's a beautiful question to ask the Holy Spirit for help with, because, I mean, we're all given countless opportunities now with, like, you know, again, you can just turn on the news and have opportunities. but I've found the biggest thing, and this hasn't come up recently, but when the pandemic first started and we were like all on lockdown, after a while being home with my husband 24/7 started to feel hard. And I'm sure others can relate. And so it became an opportunity, like if somebody else pushes our buttons, one of the first things we can do is when we start noticing that we're pointing a finger at what they're doing, and this can be in your own home, this can be on the street, this can be on the news, that inclination to start analyzing or judging what they're doing is rapidly, rapidly declining our own peace. So instead of, like, that's the little red flag for me, is when I start judging or blaming or pointing a finger, saying, okay, wait a second, what is this triggering in me? How does Corinne think it needs to be? And recognizing that those are my ego judgments, and they're not going to help anybody. So those are just some random thoughts that come to mind.
Mm-hmm. Rin?
But I really, Is that Sue? One second, Sue. Alan, I really like your question because...
A good excuse is I can tell you I'm an introvert or a quiet person, and that's a good excuse for not reaching out to these opportunities. But want...
Want has to
work its way in there and grow.
Yeah, yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank you for that. Sue.
Yeah.
Hey, Corinne. One thing that I find is very helpful is trying to look into the eyes of the other person. There is a section in the New Testament where Jesus says the eyes are the window of the soul. And if that light, if the light within is darkness, how great is thy darkness? And, you know, we've learned through the course that it's either love or calling for love. So if I look into the eyes of someone else and acknowledge to myself that that is a brother, those eyes, sometimes, I mean, you can just see it with people that have been arrested. I mean, their eyes are just lacking in light and life, and it's like the very light of their soul is gone. And if, but you, if you can look and just say, you are a brother of mine, you share the same light that I share, it just somehow helps me to connect with them. Rather
That's
than looking at the whole
too.
Body, looking at their eyes.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And taking that another step further, because I in my book I wrote about that rock exercise where you can use a photo of, but I'm thinking of like, you know, something that can, like Jesus or even a baby, can easily see the truth in you. If anybody is struggling with like a family member or somebody that you can get your hands on a photo of them where they're making eye contact, you know, and you can look at just the photo, that can be an incredibly powerful, you know, practice that you're doing in the quiet of your own home. Don't need to talk to the person. Don't need to, you know, pick up the phone, but to be doing that forgiveness work with that photo and really, like you're saying, connecting with their eyes and being willing to join and see the truth in them and love them. That's so powerful. I love that, Sue. Thank you. Anybody else?
Corinne, this is Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hello. Let's see. When you're talking about kindness, if anyone has Netflix streaming, there is a series called The Kindness Diaries, and it's about a guy that travels from Alaska to the tip of South America, that literally depending on the kindness of strangers, he doesn't carry any money with him. And there are some really beautiful exchanges between him and other people, and he undertook that journey personally because he was despondent about, he didn't think that there was any kindness left in the world, and it was kind of like, prove it to me, you know. And so it's really, he's teaching himself through the kindness of others how that there really is kindness in the world. And at the very end of the series, he gives a really beautiful summary of how important it is to be kind and to show up in the world with your heart. And it's pretty inspiring. I just am recommending it to anyone who hasn't seen it.
And what is
Thank
it on
you,
YouTube or
Netflix?
Pardon me?
Oh, Netflix.
Netflix.
Yes, Netflix streaming.
Okay.
Netflix streaming. Awesome. Thank
and
you for that recommendation. The Kindness Diaries.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that recommendation, Dave. That's so helpful. You reminded me of another video that I saw. I think this was just a YouTube video of a woman, I believe, well, some kind of Western woman. I don't remember if she was American or from some other European country. She wanted to demonstrate like trust and love, but you know, because things have been like so bad with like, I think it was Iraq. She got on a bicycle and decided that she was going to bicycle across, I believe it was Iraq. And
wow.
When she first started, she was terrified because every message she's ever received has like told her she's going to be captured by terrorists, tortured, beheaded, you know, you name it. And, but she began her journey and same kind of thing. She relied on the kindness of strangers to assist her bike ride across the country of Iraq, and that was exactly, you know, she was assisted by people who were kind and loving, and totally blew that thought out of the water that, like, if you set a toe anywhere near there, that you're going to, you know, be tortured by terrorists. So that, I thought, was an incredibly brave and healing thing, and that I don't know what it was called, but if you went to YouTube and searched like woman bicycle trip across Iraq or something, it would probably come up. So thank
wow,
you
that's
for,
courageous.
Yeah, right. I agree. Amazing. So this is really what this is all about, is being kind and loving our brothers, and because that's how we come to know who we truly are. Like I said already, we can come to true, like, deep peace and knowing and love within ourselves, but it gets even better as we start to extend that outward, because that is literally how we keep it. The healing experiences that I've had since my most difficult relationship that I've spoken about many times, when I started really getting out of the way, all my ego stuff that wanted to defend myself, when I really started getting out of the way with that and loving my brother, who I was having such difficulties with, when I really started loving them and recognizing that I did have blocks to love towards them, when I started really wanting to love them, that's when things really started to shift. Because I had to decide I really wanted to love them. I wanted to. And this course is all about removing the blocks to love's awareness. It's not about learning how to love. It's about removing the blocks that we've put. Because once those blocks are out of the way, that love is there. That doesn't need our help.
You know,
Go on, Paula.
I think this relates to what we're saying. You know, sometimes, I was in Home Depot this weekend, and I want to do some gardening. There were a bunch of things. I had a drill bit I needed drill bits for. I didn't know. And I felt hesitant to ask for help, just simply because I guess I'm afraid of rejection. And, you know, I really thought to myself, that's ridiculous. And I started asking people for help. I cannot tell you. They were coming out of the woodwork.
Aww.
I mean, these young men were like, I was going to buy cow manure because I'm planting garlic, and that's very good for, you know, getting the garlic going.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a heavy bag, and I just looked at this young guy, and I hardly even had to say anything. He came right over. You're going to hurt yourself.
Aww.
If you try to put that in my trunk. Get a hanging basket down for me. I mean, it was just the nicest. But sometimes I think that you have to consciously make that decision to let go of the fear of criticism or rejection, or because I could see how that was holding me back. And once I made that decision that I was just going to trust, honestly, Corinne, it was just amazing.
I love that, Paula. And it feels good to help. Like, another thing, though, in that, like, if we are the ones being asked to give help, we might feel like we have to try on whether it's, you know, right or not. But I'm talking about, like, a very, for instance, we have frequent power outages in our neighborhood because we have lots of trees. So the trees take down the power lines, the power goes out, and then who knows when it comes back on. And in the last, we had a tropical storm not too long ago. We lost power for like 4 or 5 days, and we were supplying water because our generator is hooked up to our well. So we lose water when we have no electricity because we're all on well around here. We were supplying water for our neighbors next door and then another woman and her 90-year-old mother that are, like, kind of behind us. And it involved, like, filling up bottles and hauling them over. But, like, we were so happy. This neighbor had such a hard time asking, but we were so happy to help them, and it felt so good. Now, if I'm in if I'm not in a good headset, maybe, and I honestly was super happy to help, but I'm just giving this as an example, I might feel like imposed upon or like, oh, they're asking and I don't really want to. But if I can't think of one example where somebody hasn't cleared out their own stuff and has come to recognize how good it feels to help, you know?
Yeah.
It feels good. And again, like I'm talking within appropriate limits. There is a too much threshold, you know, at some point. But
right.
Anyway.
But what kind of occurred to me when this was all happening is not only did it feel good to ask for the help, but it felt really good, I think, on both of our parts to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you giving and receiving are the same in truth.
They are. Absolutely. Thank you for that example, Paula.
Yes.
It was beautiful. Let's. I'm going to read. So we're going to finish out this text. Let's read another. I'll read the next two paragraphs, then we'll talk, and then I'll read the final one. I thank you, Father, for these holy ones who are my brothers as they are your sons. Let me read that again. I thank you, Father, for these holy ones who are my brothers as they are your sons. My faith in them is yours. I am as sure that they will come to me as you are sure of what they are and will forever be. They will accept the gift I offer them because you gave it me on their behalf. I want to read that sentence one more time. They will accept the gift I offer them because you gave it me on their behalf. And as I would but do your holy will, so will they choose. And I give thanks for them. Salvation's song will echo through the world with every choice they make. For we are one in purpose, and the end of hell is near. In joyous welcome is my hand outstretched to every brother who would join with me in reaching past temptation, and who looks with fixed determination toward the light that shines beyond in perfect constancy. Give me my own, for they belong to you. And can you fail in what is but your will? I give you thanks for what my brothers are, and as each one elects to join with me, the song of thanks from earth to heaven grows from tiny scattered threads of melody to one inclusive chorus from a world redeemed from hell and giving thanks to you. I'm just going to keep going and then we're going to talk about it. And now we say, Amen. For Christ has come to dwell in the abode you set for him before time was, in calm eternity. The journey closes, ending at the place where it began. No trace of it remains. Not one illusion is accorded faith, and not one spot of darkness still remains to hide the face of Christ from anyone. Thy will is done, complete and perfectly, and all creation recognizes you and knows you as the only source it has. Clear in your likeness does the light shine forth from everything that lives and moves in you. For we have reached where all of us are one, and we are home where you would have us be. Amen. We just finished the text. So, the three paragraphs we just read. I thank you, Father, for these holy ones who are my brothers as they are your sons. Jesus' faith in them, in us, is God's. I love how it says, salvation song will echo through the world with every choice we make. Every time, as I said before, every time we make a choice to turn to the Holy Spirit, it's like the body, it gets thinner. It gets, in terms of, the dream getting more transparent, the veil getting thinner. That's the word I was looking for, the veil. And the song of heaven, we start to be able to hear it a little bit more. I've always been just beyond intrigued and touched by this idea of the song of heaven, salvation song. That's always there. It never ceases, but all the blocks that we've put, we can't hear it anymore. And it's not something we hear at the body's eyes. It's something internal. But this sentence, oh my gosh, it says, for we are one in purpose and the end of hell is near. In joyous welcome is my hand outstretched to every brother who would join with me in reaching past temptation. I'm going to pause there. When we spoke before about not taking the ego's bait, not being a fish that grabs onto that ego bait, we don't have to resist that temptation alone. So in other words, the body hooks, the anxieties, the fears, the conflict, the lack, the scarcity, whatever it is, none of that need we resist or try to oh, this temptation, I can't go there. We're not doing that part of ourselves either. Corinne, I, we, you, we don't have to resist that temptation alone. We have divine help with us. So just like it says, Jesus' hand is outstretched to every single one of us who would join with Jesus in reaching past temptation. So whether it's Jesus or the Holy Spirit, whoever you're more comfortable with, imagine that you're just not doing this alone. It's literally saying, Holy Spirit, help me choose again. Jesus, help me choose again. And that sentence goes on to say that, we look with fixed determination toward the light that shines beyond in perfect constancy. So every doing that we are asked to embark on in this world, for instance, with these talks that I have coming up on A Course in Miracles and Healing Racism, they're going to be fantastic talks, but I'm sure they're going to be challenging at times, and they're going to challenge people at times, and yet we as Course students, we can look with fixed determination toward the light. That's the gift to me in being a miracle worker, is that we are called to do, to be miracle workers in the world, and while we are doing so, whatever form it is that we are asked to take a part in, to take a, to whatever it is we're asked to do, we can still keep our mind focused on the truth. We can still keep that fixed determination toward the light. And if you feel like you don't have fixed determination, don't worry about it, because our determination is not perfect, but the Holy Spirit's is, Jesus's is, and it's us turning to them having that fixed determination that helps us come to that same place. Oh, and then this last paragraph, before I go to the last paragraph, this is just, I love how it says, as each one elects to join with me, with Jesus, the song of thanks from earth to heaven grows from tiny scattered threads of melody to one inclusive chorus from a world redeemed from hell and giving thanks to you. And now we say amen. So this is just beautiful how it says the journey that we never really embarked on closes. It ends at the place where it began. I love how it says, not one spot of darkness still remains behind the face of Christ. Thy will is done and perfectly, remembering that thy will, God's will, is our will. We want to know ourselves. We want to know the truth. We want to be joyous. We want to be happy. We want to know. Can you imagine how liberating it is to feel, to know that you are an eternal being, that your soul group that you travel with, if that's a real thing, I believe it is, that's not mentioned in the course, so I'm just doing a little disclaimer. But if you were to just know that everyone you love is with you in this eternity, you are all together, you cannot lose anyone or anything, and I just feel incredibly empowered and liberated by that thought. So, clear in your likeness, does the light shine forth from everything that lives and moves in you? For we have reached where all of us are one, and we are home where you would have us be. Goosebumps. We did it. We did it. We did it. We got to the end of the text. So, any final comments or questions?
Bryn, this is me again.
Yeah.
So,
hi.
I had a vision of when you were reading that about the last two paragraphs, that we, those who have taken this on, we're all kind of on like a jetliner, and we're flying above the clouds. And if we can just keep our vision up there, I don't know how to describe it, but it felt really good.
Mm-hmm.
If and all of the stuff under the clouds is not something that we need to get mired in, but we can just stay above the clouds. We can fly, all our brothers and everybody is on this jet plane, and we're heading toward that light, and it's the sunrise, you know, it was just really an interesting vision I had, but I'm going to just share that.
Yeah, oh, thank you, Sue, that's beautiful, and I love it, and to add, too, it's that staying about, see, this is where... If anybody attends the Love Lens conversations, what you're going to hear us talking about, one of the things at least, is that I'm more and more and more convinced that we've, as a Course in Miracles community as a whole, that we've missed the mark, that what you just said, Sue, is spot on and beautiful and perfect, but some of us, and I'll speak for myself because I've done this, we want to stay high up in the clouds because we're happy and we're peaceful. And if we do anything of the world or in the world, it's like, oh, you're sinking into the battleground. You know, you shouldn't be doing that. But, like, I ate breakfast this morning, or I went to the dentist and had a cavity filled. Like, we pick and choose where it's acceptable to get involved in the world, but we say that other things, like anything related to, like, maybe healing racism or whatever, is not okay. So we can stay up there, exactly where you're describing, up there in those clouds, while still having a body that's here in this world that is acting, you know, that's being given things
exactly.
to do.
Your mind is up there,
yeah.
But your body
is
down.
Jesus,
yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Jesus starts, I just have to say this before we go. Hold on one second. I'm going to the very beginning of the text. I might be wrong. Come on. Where's the introduction? Okay, it's not the first thing in the introduction. Is it the first thing of, I don't know where this says. It's early on, but Jesus says, you will see miracles through your, it is, I'm sorry. In the CE, the very first, so in when Helen started taking A Course in Miracles down, it didn't begin with this first principle of miracles, like the first 50 principles. It says, you will see miracles through your hands, through me. It doesn't say you'll see miracles through your happy thoughts or through, you know, just your loving thoughts. You'll see miracles through your hands. So here we are in this world, allowing our bodies to be used as communication devices to bring all of us home. That we may return home, that we may remember it, that others may remember that as well. So we stay in the clouds, soaring, looking, you know, at the sun or the stars or whatever it is that we're gazing on up there, but our bodies are down here, and we're listening and following guidance. So thank you for that, Sue.
The Holy Spirit really is the answer to all of it. We can soar with the Holy Spirit. You know, we can be earthbound with the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
We can't do anything, but everything can be done through Holy Spirit.
Exactly. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Paula. Thank you, everyone, for being here on our call tonight. This is a significant call because we just ended the text, and I'm so excited. So I know, such an accomplishment. And Paula, you've been here since day one. Like, you've been here since whatever we started in 2011. And you and Carol and Pat have been here, and Deidre have been here since that very, very beginning. So we've all been together, and everybody who's joined us along the way, I'm so grateful for all of you. You make these calls what they are. And so definitely look out for an email from me Sunday morning next weekend that will have the new call-in details. I don't know if I'll send it out before then or not, but it will definitely be, let's say, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. I'm writing that down. That's when I will send out the email, so you know to check your inbox for that. And Zoom it will be, so I'll actually get to see you, or you'll get to see me. Whether or not you want to be on camera or not is up to you. But I'm super excited. So I love you all. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you so much,
Corinne.
Thank
you. Thank you, Tanya. Thank you.
Thank you, Corinne.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Love you.
Love you.
Thank you, Corinne.
Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.